Hello, welcome to another episode of Why Didn't They Laugh? My dog is sitting on my lap, so I'm in an extra good mood. Today's episode is called Road to Joy. It's going to just be a happy episode. My guest and I will have some master debating sessions where we debate absurd topics. I have a new theory that every 4 years, it's almost like a locust cycle. The American political process makes people really edgy and crazy. Lately, I've been noticing a lot of arguments amongst friends where if everyone doesn't agree with every single thing, someone's wildly offended that you can't just agree to disagree anymore. And I figured out it's because no matter what party you believe in or whether you believe in something or nothing or anything, there's tens of billions of dollars spent to make people look different that are very similar. And everyone running for president is very... on the grand scheme of things, they probably have, you know, 99% in common, more than normal people. And they spend all this money to make them all appear different. And the repercussion of that is the categorization of our country, where everyone is, you know, don't say that. I'm lactose intolerant and you're going to eat ice cream right in front of me. God damn it. And I've had friends recently where it feels very falling out-ish. Because I don't agree with one topic that a year ago wouldn't mean shit. Like, not major things. Like, how we perceive things. And people have meltdowns. So this episode is called Road to Joy because I'm making a new documentary called Road to Joy. It's about what makes people happy and battling depression and shit like that. And it'll be up by the time this podcast goes up. I've been working on it all month. There's going to be awesome footage from the Impractical Jokers tour that we did. That's one of the sections. Here's a little section for you guys to get an idea of what... because I asked you guys to send me videos of what makes you happy. So here's a couple of you guys are on this. This is the intro. That's a reggae player. I just did this... he's playing Ode to Joy. Ode to Joy. I just did this benefit for Lyme disease recently. And this guy was playing at it, and he was, like, blowing my mind. So I just started taping it.
Dude, that's so awesome. I've never heard classical like a... Oh.
The dude was just making everybody really happy. And I'll tell you, this family that hired me to do comedy for the Lyme disease benefit... this beautiful young girl has Lyme disease, and her mother just spent all this money to help cure Lyme disease for her daughter. And they've had some like monster medical breakthroughs. So this fundraiser was all like, you know, geneticists and doctors and all these people, and they all came together to help this girl. And I think a lot of people forget that there's a lot of good rich people out there. Like a lot, like rich is almost said as an insult amongst certain people where they're like, oh, it's a rich person. There's a lot of people that perceive money as a freedom and like a way to help their own family grow and succeed. And this is a situation where if I had a good chunk of money to my name, that's the type of person I would want to be. Like this girl's mom who said, we have money, let's try and cure Lyme disease. Yeah, so that was really powerful. So anyway, here's the people that send in stuff.
One of the things that makes me happy, finishing an entire tube of chapstick.
Hey, I'm Bethany, and these are the things that make me happy.
What makes me happy? Turkey Club, Super Melt, and a strawberry fribble from Friendly's.
Such a gratifying feeling. And there's nothing in the world that can compare to finishing an entire chapstick without losing it or having to buy new ones. Or
I love joking around.
Oh yeah, keep laughing, keep me young.
That's, I love you.
That's
beautiful.
Cheesy for
us.
Yes. Keep in my glass.
What else makes me happy? Spending time with my friends and family.
Finding someone new and talking to them about weird shit like unicorns and the stuff that I'm into. Because sometimes it's just nice knowing that you're like not the only one.
I love finding a song that fits exactly right with a moment.
What makes me happy is knowing I can make other people happy.
Corny as it sounds, is seeing my sisters happy.
who's into stuff that you're into. Like, you see other people who's into the same stuff that you're into, but they're living, like, in an entirely different country, like, an entirely different part of your country. So, yeah, it's nice knowing that there's people nearby that like your shit.
This is just video of a guy dancing right now. You can't see it, but... Some of these are visual.
You are fucking brilliant.
Oh my God, you can say that all day long.
You are fucking brilliant.
Thank you.
This is my question.
What do you got? Are you shy? Shy now?
Yes.
That is make people laugh. And I never really got around to doing anything about it until recently people started reading me rants on Twitter and stuff. And apparently me complaining is hilarious.
Joy life to the fullest every day.
That's awesome, man. New Year's resolution? Yeah, look at you, took the Joker from Batman from all that ice. Here's the ball. We love Uncle Brother. Yeah, a lot of that stuff there, you got to see the video of what makes sense. But yo, what's up, man? Come on in. So that video is called Road to Joy. It'll be on YouTube and Facebook. I get a lot more views on Facebook for some reason, even though that's not where I usually watch videos myself. But so watch that on either. I'm going to upload it tomorrow, Road to Joy. Great guest just arrived. Tamer Katan, how are
you,
bud?
I'm great, man. How are you?
Awesome. So today's going to be a lighthearted ep. I want to give people a break from the stress of the political year.
Sure.
You used to be in advertising.
Yeah.
Don't you think that all the advertisements, no matter what you believe in, it makes people feel different because they're trying to make people appear different?
100%.
Yeah.
That's how they make you want, is to make you feel like you need.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like it's so, I feel leaving advertising feels a lot like leaving a cult.
Yeah. Cause fear is the best way to get people to act.
100%. It's our most basic behavior and it makes us take an action, fear, hate, all that stuff. And we have old software that's still in our head.
Oh, and the feeling to reprimand, an ill, you know, we also have that.
100%.
Cause I usually never fall for this stuff. Like, I know B.O.B. definitely doesn't think the earth is flat. Like, sorry, Neil deGrasse Tyson, because scientists flipped out. They're like, how could he think that?
Yeah.
He's promoting an album, you know? Yeah. Tila Tequila is not a Nazi.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on a limb and say Eminem doesn't still hate his mom. Adele didn't just go through a breakup. Sure. You know, a lot of people will fall for this stuff, and I never fall for it. And then Beyonce got me. And I'll tell you why. It was the ultimate racial who's on first.
Yeah.
Because there's two Black Panther parties. There's the new one that says the craziest shit you've ever heard.
Yeah.
And then the old one, which is community building group during the civil rights movement when they were facing a lot of problems. Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that it wasn't the same group.
Yeah.
Because the first Black Panther party stopped in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then this new one are just a bunch of jackasses with no relation whatsoever to the old one.
Totally. Yeah.
So it was the perfect thing to do. Where it's almost like there's a Jeffrey Dahmer and then a dentist named Jeffrey Dahmer.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not having Jeffrey Dahmer over for dinner. It's like, what did he do to you? He's just a goddamn dentist. You know, and people are fighting and no one really understands why. And it's just the ultimate, you know, it's that ultimate thing where it makes people enraged when they think that it's the new one that says kill white babies and all that shit.
Sure.
And then when they realize it's the old one, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah. It's just crazy that there's like this thing that I pay attention to politics sometimes. And the thing that I notice the most is this idea of rational fallacies. It's like this thing that just because it sounds rational, you're going to believe it, even though it's totally false. And you're going to jump to all these conclusions.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you mentioned the stuff about celebrities and advertising. Okay. What does Mila Kunis know about whiskey? What is nothing?
Right.
Why do we believe her? Why would you know, Jack Daniels or whoever it is, use her as a spokesperson? Why does it work? Ashton Kutcher, what does he know about cameras? And yet they've got this guy's like, because Ashton's doing it, then we make all these assumptions. They hear this little, like all of the things that we experience and our opinions on it are based on the collection of experiences we've had until that date.
Yeah.
That's why I like what you said. You said, this is what I learned in school.
Right.
That's right. And that's same with me. That's what I learned too. But we were a part of another one community. They were a part of this community.
Yeah.
And the only way is to do what you did, is to have that open dialogue and have a conversation and say, hey, stop yelling, stop screaming.
Right.
Let's just have a conversation where these are two people that are trying to understand the world and make it better. That's it.
Yeah, because no one can ever know what it's like to be you.
Of course not. Yeah.
And that's the thing that I think is slipping away from our consciousness, where someone's like, you don't know what it's like to be black. And in my mind, I'm like, I don't. And yeah. I'm not going to pretend I do, but you don't know what it's like not to know what it's like to be black.
Exactly.
And it's like this zone that a lot of white people are in this country right now, where they don't feel racist. They don't have racist notions, but they keep saying the wrong thing and people keep getting pissed. And they're like, yeah. What's the right... And I usually don't have a problem with that at all. And then that instance I did. And I really believe that this is a time in history where people feel really divided. And I think it's because of advertising.
I
don't think that there's any... I don't think the issues people perceive as real are statistically provable compared to other years.
Yeah.
Like murder, everything's going down every year.
100%.
And that's just raw fact. And it's like some communities are facing a lot harder things than other communities and all that. But it feels like our trust is getting lower. Like we don't trust each other when we should.
Yeah.
When things used to be way crazier.
Yeah, exactly. Because the way you measure humanity, the direction of humanity, is in 100-year blocks, not 10-year blocks.
Yeah.
And the way advertising measures things is yearly. Everything changes in a year. I look at a picture of what I looked like 5 years ago and I feel like I dressed like a moron.
Right. It moves so fast.
That's the pace of capitalism. Technology, a phone that's 2 years old, free. I would be terrified to be an old person today.
Yeah.
Terrified. Because it's changing so quickly that like, and we're being used up. It's like the more technology they make, the harder we work and the harder we get sold to.
It's
and
true.
The more we need and the more we want. It's like it's an addiction.
It's the many headed hydra. You just cut off a head, another one pops
exactly. up. Exactly. It's crazy.
Yeah. Cause they have to make this hole in you to fill. And that's when I get in these really good moods, like now, when you can see it clearly and you're not really associating yourself with these notions that make people so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just, it's a bizarre time. Have you felt that recently?
Oh, absolutely. Dude.
Well, you are an Egyptian and Jewish at the same time, which is, aren't you part like Hispanic too?
Yeah, no, I grew up in a Mexican neighborhood, but Muslim dad, Jewish mom, grew up in Egypt.
Yeah.
Moved to the States and lived in East LA. That's where we...
yeah. So you have one knows what it's like to be you.
Yeah.
Like not even close.
Yeah. It's different. And it's weird to be this thing in the middle.
And there's a lot of, things that I like, left-handed people die way younger than everyone else, like 9 years younger.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so people, advertisers like to market on things you can see quickly.
Yeah.
That's why I think race is it's becoming so insane, is because it's really easy to see the color of a human versus like the entire world is made against left-handed people.
Yeah.
Like my brother,
it's so true.
Yeah, it's like a chainsaw. It's like, that's really, really fucking dangerous for left-handed people.
Yeah. You know what? I was watching Caesar Milan the other night.
Yeah.
And then today I saw this dog on a dog path after watching Caesar Milan. And the dog was like super aggressive and scared and angry and just like barking and growling. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, well, that dog's a dick. And then I stopped and went, no, he's not. I watched Caesar Milan last night. It's not the dog. It's the owner. And it's the leash. And that's us. Like, I think right now we're stressed out and barky like this angry, growly dog that's like barking more than it normally does and growling at people and saying scary things and saying things that behaving in a way he doesn't normally behave.
Right.
And I think it's like because the people that are holding the leash on us, it's them. They're more divided than ever before.
And they're greedier. Yeah, they're just pushing this. The reason people don't like... respect politicians anymore and a lot of corporations because you can see that they're greedy little fuckers.
100%.
Where if they believed in something other than money, like I don't know if you were here for that story I was telling about Lyme disease, where I just did this fundraiser for Lyme disease, and this awesome girl got Lyme disease, and she's from clearly a well-to-do family, and her mom just was like, okay, let's try and cure Lyme disease. So they spent a fortune to like make all these medical breakthroughs. And that was out of love for her daughter.
Sure.
And when you see stuff like that, that's the opposite of greed. That's like,
agreed.
I have this resource, money, and I have another resource, family, and I'm just going to move one to another. And so you're still just a wonderful person.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see these people that will sell out their integrity, their family, everything for the green.
Yeah.
And usually they're running for president.
Yeah. It's so true. And it's just them pulling on different heartstrings and mind strings and fear tactics and all this stuff. Like my grandfather, I think I told you this before. My grandfather said I'd never met a well-traveled racist. And I believe that. Like if you look,
wow, that's a great quote.
It is, right? Because if you think of America, the next thing they say about Americans is that we don't travel.
Yeah.
And we really don't, not even outside our own state. I had a guy on an airplane tell me once, he goes, Kansas born, Kansas bred, and one day Kansas is where I'll be dead.
Yeah.
And he said it like it was a pride thing. And I'm like, that's not good. You know, like I don't think we have a racism problem. I think we have a geography problem. Like we're an island. We're just this really big island and we've closed ourselves off from everybody else. You know, and I think like if you look at the most racist communities, they're usually the communities that have the least race.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So it proves that actually by making people mixed and making someone, like if you meet one dude that's an Arab dude and you go, this is a good person, it's going to be really hard for you to say all Arabs are this. You know, it's that whole thing I mentioned before, rational fallacy.
Yeah.
Like if you pull a slot machine arm and you win on that machine, you go, oh my God, this is the magic machine.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay on this machine. I'm going to keep pulling this lever. And then all of a sudden you lose all the money you won. And the same thing happens with our opinions of people. Oh, I got jumped by a Mexican kid. And then I go, okay, so now I don't trust Mexican kids.
Yeah.
Like you'd make this huge jump. And all it takes is another Mexican kid to be a really good person. And then I go, ah, that's silly. That was fear-based and it wasn't based in reality. It was just this thing that made me make sense for like half a minute.
Yeah, like one thing, putting the missing kids on the milk cartons, you know, that only led to finding one kid.
Really?
And they did billions and billions of cartons. Wow. Like all it did is just scare the shit out of everybody.
Yeah.
And the one kid they found was kidnapped by her father.
Oh my God.
And that whole campaign, it didn't do anything. It was like almost just a way to make people feel really isolated. Because it's divide and conquer is one of the oldest. I mean, Beyonce's a genius. Yeah. Not only do I take back talking shit about her, I've never seen like promotion, like how to promote. She just did a masterclass on it.
Yeah.
She sold out a stadium twice, like the same stadium sold out twice in 1 minute. And it's because, you know, she's charging people up to feel her love and be like, yeah, we're all one. We're all part of this thing. And then, and she's also giving those people an enemy. And then she's giving other people herself as an enemy that may want to go or like, it's very like, I compare a lot of stuff to the Nazis, but I'd compare Coca-Cola to the Nazis. I compare everything to like that whole, this is your enemy. These are our rituals. This is what we believe. This is why we're different than them.
Us and them.
I mean, and it just keeps going back. It's like, you know, the very wealthy Arabs do that about Americans. Like there's such a great difference in wealth over there that like a lot of these billionaire, almost trillionaire sheiks are like, it's because of America. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why you're in a tent.
Yeah.
And then a lot of the really, you know, good Arab people start believing that we're the reason they're poor.
Exactly.
And we're not.
Yeah. I used to get told horror stories about the Jewish man that was going to come get me.
Yeah. And you're half the Jewish
man.
And
I'm half Jewish. Yeah. And
full if you count the mother lineage.
Well, that's the thing. They say if you have a Muslim mom, I'm sorry, if you have a Jewish mom, you're a Jew. But according to Islam, if you have a Muslim dad, you're a Muslim.
Whoa.
So I'm like, I am to religion what a butterfly is to physics. Like I'm not supposed to exist. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah. It shows you how ridiculous all that stuff is. It's shared fiction. You know, it's that like from Sapiens that they talked about. That's how they control you.
I'm so glad you read Sapiens.
It's such a great book.
Yeah, but it almost fucked me up because I almost started seeing the world more rationally and then I started hitting more hot buttons.
Yeah.
Because normally, like the irony is when you think emotionally, I would be like, oh, I can't criticize this or say this. But when you think rationally, you're like, it's racist not to acknowledge that.
Yeah.
It's like, what, you know, because Sapiens makes you think like in terms of millions of years where Native Americans aren't even, 40,000 years ago, they were Siberians. You know, if you think big picture, it's like, what the hell is anything?
Yeah.
And then you get an antimatter and matter and how like everything that we can feel and touch is like 1/1,000,000% of everything that could exist. I don't know.
I'm glad we're not doing a heavy episode.
Oh Jesus, I'm such a dickhead. Okay,
this is what happens when we start talking. We go there like we're on weed.
So Master Debaters is all about debating topics that are absurd, but you can do them passionately. So that way you avoid hot button issues, but you can still be the lion, you know, the verbal lions that me and you are. So
I think I did it wrong.
What did you come up with?
There's one that I really wanted to talk
about. There's no wrong answer.
Okay, but this one might be... Okay, so here's what I was thinking about along the lines of what we were just talking about.
Yeah.
It made me think of England, right? Like, I think of America as like a teenager
yeah.
and like Europe as a bunch of middle-aged men. Right, like in terms of how long our growth, our the trajectory of our maturity, and so I look at England and I go, I see a lot of things. Having lived in England for a few years, I see a lot of things in England that we're starting to do now.
Right.
So it's like, so it makes sense to me. So I started going, well, maybe I can see things in England and forecast where we're going next. So I go, in England at one point, they started to argue the way we're arguing now. The way Republicans and Democrats are arguing now. We lost our shared fiction in England, right? Like Northern Ireland said, we don't want to be part of the United Kingdom anymore. And they weren't.
Right.
And then Scotland just last year was talking about leaving. And so the absurd argument I wanted to have is whether America should divide.
I'm into it.
Wouldn't that be crazy? Like, it sounds insane, right? That the country would actually become two countries.
So this is the game we're going to play. You pick the side you want to argue, and I'll pick the other side, and then we flip.
Okay.
That way we don't actually believe anything, and no one knows what we believe.
That's such a tricky math problem that I can't even think of how to try to win it.
Well, yeah. It's like my dad used to say, if you can't argue the other side, you don't have that opinion.
I love that.
Yeah, so you're going to first argue that the states should
divide.
Yeah, and then I'll go not divide, and then we'll flip.
Okay.
All right,
so I should talk about why we should not divide.
No, that we should divide.
Oh, why we should divide.
And then we'll flip.
Either one, and then we'll flip later. Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah. Why we should divide, It just seems like every year, every time we come to this election time, like it's just, we're not happy together. You know, and like if we stay together, we'll keep fighting with each other. And I think that makes us more prone to being attacked. Terrorism attacks and weaker economies and all that stuff. Like if we're going to keep fighting with each other, then it's going to be harder to fight against enemies.
That is a wonderful point. And I will passionately disagree with that because to break up now, it'd almost be like a marriage breaking up over a spat, you know, that enough Americans have died to keep this union together. And we have enough shared history that we can make it through anything. And if we break up, God forbid, Delaware can't defend itself. It won't be able to afford a military. And, you know, South Carolina will be really depressed because it's codependent with North Carolina. And we will lose... We're greater as a whole than as our parts. And even though we disagree on a lot of topics, we can all agree that fuck England. All right, that's my side.
Oh, man, that was good. You almost convinced me.
So now flip now you do the other one.
Do the other side? Why?
Yeah, do the one I just argued about.
Do the one that
point.
You just argued different point. Okay.
Actually, I'll do your. So you'll have a little time to think.
Okay.
Because you did yours. Okay. So now I'm arguing that we should stay together. Is that what I'm arguing?
No, you argued. Oh, that we should not.
We should not split up. Okay.
Yeah.
One thing that you see over and over again in history is something called self-determinism. We saw it in Yugoslavia. You see it all over the place, that a group of people that want to be a group of people and separate should be able to do that. Because if not, you create the Balkans, you create the satellite states of the Soviet Republic, you create a lot of unnecessary tension. If America were to break up, we could have... Texas would no longer be able to do all their Facebook posts, you know, that they should be their own country because it's like, fine, be your own country. You know, California would probably split into two countries, red California and blue California, and they both have a little bit of brown California. And then, you know, Vermont can finally become the maple syrup fucking Death Star that it truly wants to. Okay, that's my side.
I like it. So now I'll argue why we should stay together.
Yeah.
I think because we're such good storytellers and filmmakers and things like that, we've always had that, I think. I think we've taken a word like freedom and made it bigger than it is. I don't think America's really about freedom. I don't think that's our secret sauce. I think other countries have more freedom than we do. I think our secret sauce is united. That's what we had, one country with one currency, and that's how we kicked Europe's ass. Like, we had all these different people that respected each other's pursuit for happiness, even though they were different. That's what we seem to be forgetting right now, every time an election comes around, by the way.
Yeah.
So I think it's the word united that's really important. And it's like we're supposed to feel like one family, like in a family of the same, you know, different first names, but the same last name, like African-American, Mexican-American, Arab-American.
Right.
And I remember somebody asking me that, going, hey, if you were an American and you moved to Egypt, would you become an American Egyptian? And I go, no, it only happens when you go to America, because Americans function together. It's not by blood. I mean, we were started by a company. For, you know, the Dutch company, the Royal Dutch Company and stuff. So it's like, I don't know. I think we should stay together, but I think we should be nervous about a breakup so that we learn to respect each other again.
Right. We won't take each other for granted.
Exactly.
It's almost like our state should function as relationships.
Yeah. Like, here's the thing that I think.
It's like, tell Illinois you've been thinking about it.
And two, I've gone out in the Midwest, in the South and the quote-unquote heartland of America, and I've done anti-gun material and stuff, and it's been a trip. But actually, they've been cooler than I thought.
Way cooler. I find that the right, I disagree with most things on the right, but I find that they're way more tolerant than the left.
Exactly.
Even though I would probably be characterized more left based on my views, but my heart's still kind of right. Like, I act more like a right person and I agree with the left more.
Yeah.
I know people that have like, that are all about guns. That's their whole life. And I, you know, think that there should be a decent amount of gun restrictions, and they don't give a shit what I think.
Yeah. It's so weird though, but I look at it and I think of it like, if we're like a bacteria, if we're like a system, then we need each other.
Totally.
It's like a right hand is looking at a left hand going, you're an idiot. Look where your thumb is, you dumbass. Look where your pinky is. You're a dope.
Yeah.
You
know? And in that video where I had people send in stuff, most things that make people happy are other people in some form, where it's like, whether you're making someone laugh, or you're, you know, with your family or eating or all these things, you know, your husband or wife or kids, we're communal animals. And we just have such a, you know, we live in a country where you can make corn, you can make software, you could be financial, you could, you know, we have so many things that make us special in regions that we should really chill out.
Absolutely.
All right. So here are some absurd ones that I wrote on the way over here.
I like it.
Should left-handed people be able to sue door manufacturers? Because every single door has the handle made for right-handed people. You pick a side and go.
Okay, I'm going to pick the side of no.
Okay.
So does that mean I have to do yes?
No, do no.
Do no.
Yeah,
okay.
Then we'll flip.
No, because I think like it's the majority, right? Like we wouldn't be able to have every door with two doorknobs. That'd be insane. Scissors would be so confusing. Just and left-handed, they're a small minority right now, and they're not unified. They can't fight back. You know, there's no reason. And here's the other thing. If you're left-handed, you can learn to be right-handed. It's not that hard. You could do it. I was left-footed. I learned to kick right-footed. It's a weird thing in me, though. I'm right-handed, left-footed. It's just too small of a group. And I think it makes you a better person to learn to write right-handed. It's not because I come from a long line of right-handed people. It's just that once I had an argument with a left-handed guy and we got in a fight, and I don't trust left-handed people ever since that fight.
Interesting. Okay, so that's your argument. My argument, I think there's more left-handed people in the country than there are wheelchair-bound people, and it is illegal to not have a ramp to most places. So if wheelchair people get the ramp, because they could theoretically get upstairs, just like left-handed people can theoretically open a right-handed door, but the strain and wear of being an outside citizen, of being a second-class citizen of the left-handed minority takes a toll on them, and they die 9 years younger. That's 9 years of family time that they could have with people that love them that have been taken from them by notebooks and doors and chainsaws and everything. To be left-handed is to truly feel like a minority that no one likes, and they don't even care about you enough to beat on you or try to kill you or take away your voting rights. They just want you to be annoyed all the time. That is what the world is telling left-handed people. It's like, no, you're allowed in, but it's just going to be annoyingly hard to get in. So I think they should be able to sue, and door manufacturers are culpable for this, and they should pay left-handed people a lot of cash.
That was pretty damn good. You just turned left-handed people into puppies and you into Sarah McLachlan.
Totally.
Like, how do I defend? I just had so much empathy for left-handed people now. 6 years? Is that 9 years? 6 years?
I think it's nine.
9 years.
Yeah.
God.
There's a study. 9 years.
That's insane.
It's 9 years off your life.
All right. You convinced me.
You got to fight me.
I'm like the dude in the M&M battle. How, like, what do I do now? No, okay.
Let's say you own a door company.
Where does it stop?
Where
does it stop? Like, where does it end? you know, like, what if, like in that movie, Best of Show, people have two left feet. Now everybody has to buy three individual shoes. There has to be two lefts and one right. Where does it end? And now really what you're going to do is you're going to discomfort a larger number of the population in order to appease a part of the population that's much smaller. This is really hard for me to do as an immigrant, by the way, because
you got to do it.
I see the connection between left-handed people and me as an Arab.
But see, the fact it's an absurd situation means we're not quotable. So go on. Continue with your view.
Also, I think left-handed people ruin boxing. It's stupid. There's so many headbutts. It becomes a headbutt thing. They ruin MMA. They're given a lot of credit. You know, people are like, oh, you're left-handed. You must be creative. Oh, you're right-handed. You're just normal. That hurts. That hurts me as a creative person. You know what I mean? I don't want to be automatically thought of right away just because I'm holding something in my right hand as a normal person. Who wants to be normal outside of a hospital? Everybody wants to be weird. You get that. You get to be weird right at the start.
Yeah.
That's a gift that you're treating as an illness. It's like saying, I'm 6'7" and I can't be on TV.
Right. Which is kind of true. No, I want to be a horse jockey. That's a fabulous argument. I think actually the better of the arguments, and I have to take a different one. Because yours is, where does it end? You know, do you have to appease to, you know, very pale people? You have to put awnings everywhere, you know.
Exactly.
So I have to argue the other side. Okay, so now I'm arguing that you should not be able to sue door manufacturers. Okay, when doors were first created, the study had not come out yet about the 9-year deficit left-handed people face. Same with notebooks and same with chainsaws. So I propose that its form and functionality, that the form of the door was created in a time before the left-handed struggle, the left-handed thing became known to most people, which it still isn't. So once a door became a door, is that now just a door and not a vehicle for political belief? Like, for example, it's more efficient for submarines to have lower ceilings. So now if you show back pain amongst tall people, or should you be able to sue the Navy? Also, another thing is, a lot of times in history, if someone is deficient because of a physical situation, nature wants you to keep them from breeding. Mm. So instead of rounding up all the lefties, left-handeds, they can be politically right. But
is that an offensive phrase, that lefties?
I have no idea. I'm just trying to... Yeah, I think it's communist. So when you round up, because what I'm about to say, I think it sounds too real now, because I just realized that I used the pejorative term I created for this is an actual pejorative term. Oh, lefty. Cool.
That's true.
So when you ambidexties now, I think we should kill them. I think we should kill everyone that's left-handed and save nature a few centuries and make sure that they do not breed.
That's intense.
Yeah, I don't actually. My mom's left-handed. If she was killed, I wouldn't be here.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Moms are important for that.
So that was a fun one.
It was fun. And it's so symbolic, man. It is weird that
we do
that.
How about this one? Yeah, this is when things can actually be worked out, because no one gives a shit.
Yeah.
Should vegans be allowed to work at a steakhouse?
No, they should. They shouldn't
even
get to smell it. All right,
let's end here. We start.
They shouldn't even get to smell it. Screw vegans. Here's the thing. It's just like abortions. It's my body. It's my business.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a little bit of like, why? Like, I don't eat animals. I don't run up to animals as they're running and bite into them. I eat animals that are already dead. They're already dead. You want their life to go to waste? It's a terrible thing. Plus, if we have evolved, we'll know when we evolve past meat. Let's not be pushy towards God. If God didn't want us to eat meat, we'd have gummy smile. We wouldn't have teeth anymore. All of our teeth would start falling out and say, hey, plants are nice. Let's do plants now. That would make sense.
Right.
But they're trying to make, they're being pushy towards the great creator,
but
whoever
should they
he
be
is.
Allowed to work at a steakhouse? Whether their philosophy is right or wrong, the matter at hand, the proposition on the floor is, vegans should not be allowed to be employed by a steakhouse.
It depends on where. Facing customers or non-facing? It makes
it. Do you have different answers?
Yes. Facing customers, no, because customers rely on. I want to ask my waiter or waitress, hey, what's great? And if they're either going to lie or they're not going to be as good as the other employee, right? Everybody has a right to their own belief, but when you actually aren't as good as, or my customer experience suffers because of your personal belief, then you don't get to.
Right.
You shouldn't be allowed to work there.
Yeah.
If your personal beliefs interferes.
I like that, because you're saying that if your personal beliefs interfere, they're not considered an expert in their field and they shouldn't be allowed.
Well, if someone in a restaurant says, hey, what's your favorite dish, or what's the filet mignon like? And they say, I don't know, I'm a vegan. And there was another wait person that isn't a vegan and they could have a conversation with you about it. Well, that's a way more positive dining experience for me.
Right.
And I could try something that's fantastic on the menu, whereas the vegan wouldn't give me that.
See, this, I disagree for the game. I mean, no one will really know how I feel. There was a time in America when women weren't allowed to announce in sports. Huh. And a woman is never going to play in the NFL. They will never know what it's like. And to be honest, a lot of their male counterparts have never played in the NFL and do not know what it's like to be an NFL player. Does that detract from their love and expertise of the NFL if they do not have the skills required to have any real life knowledge? Also, let's say someone is should a gay guy be allowed to work security at a Creed concert? I don't know. I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head. Should a heterosexual man be allowed to be a film critic? Because if you're not gay, you don't understand the art of everything, in quotes. And you don't want to put in the time of analyzing very minutiae that no one has a right to judge. So I say a vegan should be allowed. Because where does it end? If you say vegans can't work at steakhouses, then where I guess they can only work at cat food stores. So that's my side. Now you have to argue that the opposite of what you just did.
Okay, now I have to argue that it's fine.
That they should be allowed. Yeah, what I just argued.
Okay, so you can be, like, a lot of times I get great advice from waiters, and they're not chefs. They're not farmers, but they can get the information and give you the information. So if they're being a vegan doesn't stop you from being a good employee. You can also be a meat eater that doesn't have variety in your diet and not give good feedback. You just have to want to be kick-ass at your job. If you're kick-ass at your job, you'll have an answer whether you've been able to try the food or not.
Awesome. I think that vegans should never be allowed to work in a steakhouse, and I'll tell you why. Because for moral reasons, if you profit from something, you should not believe the other. That's why I've always been a support. I think that any politician that orders troops to war must have either fought in war or have their child serve, or else you're a chicken hawk. You're a goddamn profiteer. So if these vegans want to morally reject meat, but then profit from the blood of the animals that they are trying to protect, they shouldn't be allowed in this goddamn country.
I
turned up the heat a little.
I like that. I wish we had a policy like what you just said. I wish everybody who has to make a decision about sending kids to war would have to at least every year personally tell 20 moms that their kid died.
Yeah, that's why it's like I like Israel's policy too, that they all have to serve.
Yeah.
That way, even if you're there for 1 year and you're an accountant, it's like at least you were part of it.
Yeah.
Because if you're making that order, you gotta
know what everything it entails.
Yeah, that's why I liked Wesley Clark back in the day. I don't even know what party he was.
General. I don't know him.
He ran for president, I think, in 2000 maybe.
Oh,
2004.
Wow.
Yeah, I met him at the Aspen Comedy Festival years ago. We were singing Beatles together and shit. I didn't even know he ran for president.
Wow.
And I think anyone who wants to be president shouldn't be allowed to run.
Yeah, I agree.
I just don't know how you weed that out.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I really, really want all the power. It's like, get that guy the fuck out of here.
That's the dangerous guy.
Yeah. What else do you want to talk about?
I had a crazy thing happen to me. I was in Oklahoma performing, and I spoke on KLON, this radio station out there, and doing a promo for the show. And the guy immediately got into a race with me. And he was like, hey, you've got Muslim dad, Jewish mom, blah, blah, blah. What's your philosophy about this? And he started asking me those sorts of questions. And I said this thing about, if somebody said, God bless America, I'd say, what's America? You know what God would say if he heard you say that? He'd say, what's America?
Totally.
Because I didn't create countries. You idiots did.
Right.
Like, no matter what you believe in, if you look on this, there's no God that drew a line in the sand and said, those are my kids and those are not. Like,
right.
We're all from the same dude. We're all children of the same Even if you believe in science.
Well, and also, I mean, Christians, Jews, and Muslims all actually believe in the same God.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of these people that keep telling people like me that I'm ignorant don't even know the history of religions.
Yeah.
Like, they're differing on the status of prophets and the interpretation of books. They're not differing in which God it is. They all worshiping the same God.
Yeah. You know what? I thought of a different question, because this I genuinely thought about, and I think it's a little bit lighter and I'm super interested in it, because I'm like super duper single, and I've been single for a long time. And I go to therapy to learn how to be like better with like better communicator. Like, I'm taking it seriously now. And you have like, you now on your way to like this baby coming out, I feel like, when I read some of your posts and stuff, it's almost like you're an astronaut and you're flying towards the moon, and I'm like this guy on Earth, like hearing you call and reporting back to NASA.
Ground control to Major Tanner. If you think you don't have the money to start your own business, well, I have contradictory news, and it's fantastic. Now you can own your own business. It has been proven to be a phenomenal success all around the country with very little upfront investment. We're talking Selfie Station. I love this company. It is so cool. It is a station of selfie. It's a portable touchscreen photo booth that people and businesses book for weddings, corporate functions, trade shows, proms, promotional events. You can get one just for yourself if you're that into selfies and you want a station. Once you own one, they're a hit at every holiday party, bar mitzvah, or birthday. And you can make your money back and more in no time. It's more than just a photo booth. It's the entertainment as well. Selfie Station interactive experience that captures lifelong memories that can be emailed, texted, printed, personalized, and even uploaded to the minefield that is social media. You won't believe how much people will pay you to make your business the life of their party. It's the easiest income you'll ever earn and pays for itself in no time at all. The only income easier is just theft. You can start your own business right now. Let Selfie Station be the picture taker, icebreaker, and your money maker. Now, as a special introductory offer, get $500 off the professional package. That's right, $500 off. Go to selfiestationpodcast.com, support our show, and support yourself by entering promo code Owen. That's O-W-E-N. Germans pronounce it Oven, but I don't. That's selfiestationpodcast.com, promo code Owen.
How does it feel? How does it feel to be a dad? Like, what's changing? What's weird?
It's such a gradual transition that it doesn't really hit you a lot. It hits you slowly and consistently. Where you're like, you know, when we first saw that she was pregnant, that was like pretty intense. And
saw like in a
in a test.
Okay,
we're like, whoa, you know, but it doesn't really hit you. You know, I like definitely stopped texting and driving. Like, you know, wow, I was like, I would text frantically at red lights, and now I'm like, I put my phone in the console because I'm like, I can't fucking die now.
Yeah.
So then, as you see it grow, and you see what your girlfriend or wife are going through, that changes the way you see them. Where you give them, I don't know everyone, but I have a lot more adoration and respect for Amy now.
Yeah.
To see like how committed she is with her body and her soul to this relationship. Whereas like before, you know, it's easy to just be like, yeah, we're together, but you don't feel it. You feel together, like you're in love and you love her.
Yeah.
But it's like, I now understand marriage and pregnancy in the sense that like, marriage, I played piano at weddings for years, and I always just thought it was kind of stupid. I'm like, why? Who cares? But when you like make vows in front of people, there's something very deeply animal about that where it does change the way you see them.
Yeah.
Because your community now shifts. And we had the tiniest wedding. It was just our blood family. And it just feels different. It's the same with seeing them grow. You're just like, you're different. It's probably if a woman saw a man murder another man. It's like, now you're finally a man in my eyes. I'm just kidding. No, but I'm excited, man. It's definitely intense, but you know, it's part of the life process that I'm very glad I can participate in.
Yeah. See, you know what's so funny? All my life I've had relatives trying to get me to get married, right?
Yeah.
And trying to really push me to commit. And no one, I love being single.
Yeah.
And no one ever even got me close until this one guy said one thing. And he goes, wouldn't it be weird if your life ended and you had, and you didn't get to experience this huge part of being a human being?
Yeah.
And I went, oh, you, oh.
That's what, that got me too, where it's like, you get to experience all these things, and then people will tell you, like, there's no comparison to being a parent. Yeah. And then, especially in my life where I've outlived all my dreams. I mean, I've never been happier in comedy in the sense that I love the dissection of jokes and making it work. But my goals were so low that the fact I performed, you know, in Lincoln Center with Vince Vaughn and all over the world and opened for all these people and then headlining all these, like, I never saw any of that shit coming. So I don't really take a lot of joy in accomplishments anymore. Mm. When someone's like, how does it feel? You got to show, I feel almost nothing. I feel safe. Like, I'm like, great, I can provide for myself and my growing family, but I don't feel shit. I get really excited about making these stupid documentaries I make and doing podcasts and doing stand up and stuff.
Awesome,
but
by the way, those stupid documentaries are really well done.
I got a new one, Road to Joy, that'll be out when you hear this.
Cool.
Yeah, it's about beating depression by actively fighting sadness.
I like that. You were talking about sunrise instead of sunsets, right?
Yeah.
That was such a great insight, man, that you, like, if you want happiness, go out and earn it.
Yeah, you got to fight for it.
You got to fight for it.
And a lot of people don't realize how happy people have battled depression. I've had conversations at the bar with, like, really huge comedians that I really respect and love, and they give me this sense of how they see me. It's just like, it's like you're one of those, like, corn-fed guys that just never sad. You know, that I'm always like, appear to be this like Labrador. It's like, I've battled just terrors in my soul. And it's like, and I think a lot of people don't realize the work that goes into not being sad, you know, because I think the human experience is a sad experience where it's like, we know we are animals, but we know we're also not at the same exact time. It drives us insane.
Yeah.
And you see it all. It's like, I'm an animal. This is what I want. I'm an animal. But it's like, but I'm also more, and this is a finite world, and like, what is out there, and who am I, and what is the me? You know, that's everybody.
Yeah.
Everyone experiences that.
Yeah. I think why are we here is like the philosophical version of the common cold. Like, we've solved all these things that should make us feel like we're super intelligent, but we still haven't answered the most basic, like, we still can't cure the common cold, which is like the most basic illness. And we still can't answer, no matter how smart we think we are, we still have no idea why we're here.
And we never will. It's almost if you're going to the wall and you can only go halfway each time, a child will be like, well, you'll eventually get there, but you never get there because each time is half.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're like that with technology and intellect. Like, we're growing exponentially in technology, but it's almost an inverse curve where with moral expansion, where we know less and less about ourselves and our world. Like, I can't function without my map on my phone now. I don't even know my wife's phone number.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I have to write down every thought in my notepad. It's like, we've externalized so much now that it's interesting. There's a real moral hole in all of us. Yeah. And I think that I'm smart enough to know that religions aren't real, but also smart enough to know that maybe it's a good thing to be religious. It's this weird state that I'm in these days where you're like, obviously there's nobody sitting in a cloud watching over you. That's absurd. But like, scientists are now proving a lot of rituals to be great for your mental health. They're just describing religion. It's like shaking hands with people, waking up early, doing the same thing over and over again, like being grateful.
Yeah.
You know, like, our secular religions, Thanksgiving's the best. Like, you sit and you say thanks. Our culture doesn't let us be thankful for more than 8 hours. The next day is Black Friday. It's totally. Like, now it's like, buy, 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 you're empty, you're fucking empty.
Yeah.
And it's like, because there's no financial benefit to just making people feel good about themselves. But there's a big spiritual benefit to it, where it's like, if people smile more and feel more and like you hug, that's part of this documentary, is like, what makes people happy? No, not one person said money to me. And my listeners are typically pretty intelligent people and they are pretty self-aware. So maybe that's why. Maybe if I just asked random people, but not one person was like, just tons of money.
You know what makes me happy?
What?
The way you pronounce documentary.
What, documentary? Yeah, I'm a bit of a dunce.
I love it, dude. I think it's...
There's a couple words that people will hammer me for. Yeah, like bagel. Everyone's like, it's bagel or however the fuck people say it.
Yeah.
Bagel.
You know what's so crazy is like what you describe makes me think of my time in advertising.
Yeah.
Everything, a lot of the trends are just an indication of the way we feel like collectively, right? Like a lot, like after 9/11, if you looked at the number of films that were made that had a hero in them, there were like 25. After 9/11, it was almost 100.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, heroes went from being black and white to being gray. Like, we bombed Iraq, but a lot of us now are going, was that right? Like,
right.
A lot of innocent people died. It's a guilt. So all of a sudden, all of the heroes in TV and film have this moral ambiguity. It's a meth dealer, but he's a teacher, and his son is handicapped.
Right.
And he has cancer. Like, it took all those things to make us empathize with, like, a meth dealer who kills people, even kills children. And it's reflective of how we feel. We feel like we're a good country. Like, we're dealing with
it's
all
like
these
things. Our country's like, we're good? It's like we're good with a question mark. Yeah.
Even Iron Man, he's a hero, but now he's got a drinking problem.
That's like, so interesting.
Yeah. And it's so now it makes me think of like when you think of technology, we did this study when I worked in advertising called a deprivation study. So instead of asking kids how they felt about their technology, we took it away. We deprived them of technology for a week.
Nice.
And what they said when they came back was that loneliness. That was the answer. They said, you didn't take away my technology. You took away my friends. You took away my family.
Yeah.
Like, I felt disoriented because I don't own a watch or a clock. So it was like, and it makes sense. Like, that our generation, Gen X, I don't know if you, how old are you?
I'm the oldest millennial.
Okay, cool. So you're right on the edge. But my generation is Gen X. We had no war, no Columbine, no 9/11. We felt safe.
So that's why you'd have like the Janine Garofalo's.
Yeah.
Where it's like people in hoodies being like, fuck,
I'm not scared of anything. And the product we're most known for is extreme sports. I'm not scared to die and I don't need anybody. And then you get the millennials who come out with all these terrible things, 9/11, economic distress, terrorism, and the product they're most known for is Facebook. All my friends with me all the time.
Yeah. See, I'm starting to get more empathy for this generation.
Me too.
I used to just think they're a bunch of assholes. And now I'm like, think about, we sought after the world where it's like, you have to look in an encyclopedia for knowledge. Now it's Google. So it's like we used to have to search people's faces and make contextual observations to understand if someone was lying. Mm. Now it's like, no, your name is actually Fred, you know, because you can just look shit up. Yeah. And then same with porn. Like, we'd have like one crumpled porn mag and now they have all the sex in the world in their pocket. And it's almost like life is chasing them. Like, click me, buy me, buy me. And so they don't get to develop the skills of like, seeking the world, where it's like, I want to go after things, where they're on their heels, and that's why they all look scared. And that's helped me understand. There's been certain comics, like one time I did not have kind things to say about an interaction I had with Aziz Ansari, and sure. I now understand him. He probably is just a heels guy, where it's like the last thing a lot of the, because he's younger than me, so it's like there's a generation where people, if you're like, hey man, like they're like, what do you want from me? And it's like, pull back. Whereas like, you know, us, even though I'm a millennial, I have Gen X mentality. It's like, if someone was like, hey man, it's like, yeah, it's a friend.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's like, yeah, let's smoke weed and get sad. You know, it's like, our generation was like, if someone talked to you, you'd be like, you'd say the most personal shit within 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like,
especially as comics.
Oh my God. And now it's just, everyone's on their heels. Everyone's like, what I considered smug, I was like, these are a bunch of assholes. Because in my world, that is an asshole move. If someone says hi and you say nothing, I'm like, I'm going to fucking rip your arms
off.
Exactly. And then when you realize that in their world, someone being like loud and aggressive is scary and frightening. You know, they were raised in a time when sensationalizing 9/11. I mean, O.J. Simpson, we were very much adults for or alive.
Yeah.
That was the first time like news was like a movie.
Yeah.
And then ever since now,
and
it's like
it is.
Yeah, now it's like there's not more shootings. There's not more, it's just now they're movies.
Exactly.
Where it's like, let's check back in at the Newton School. You know, back in the day that would just be a headline.
Totally.
And now it's like a 12-hour saga where you get to know everyone and feel everything. And then you're like, this world is coming at me.
And they do it. They do it. They even have names for it. There's a thing called the news teaser approach, where they make you stick to your TV set. You're like, I'm going to bed. And then the news comes on and goes, there might be something addictive in your medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
News at 11. And now I got to stay awake.
Even if you know they're fucking with you, you still are I still kind of have to.
It's an unresolved mechanism in our head.
Yeah, Trump does it with enemies.
100%.
Because he used to do it with Japan.
Yeah.
And he's not even acknowledging that he used to do the same thing, where he's like, Japan's coming for us, our job, you know, because it's brilliant, you know? It's like, and Beyonce kind of did it with that Panther shit.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's a million ways to show black pride and black unity and black shit without, you know, making people feel threatened or that, you know, someone's coming at them.
Sure.
And, like, older white people, I think, were like, oh, fuck, that means that black people are going to start shooting police. And it's... Young people don't see it that way, and then much older people don't see it that way because they lived it, and they're like, no, that's in response. It's like the IRA in Ireland, you know?
Yeah.
And then it's just like everyone has their own fucking experience.
Yeah.
And it's just like the safe space shit, I understand now. It's like, can you imagine being like a little kid when 9/11 happened and being like, holy shit.
It would define your definition of the world.
We felt so safe, even though like I was born, we were both born in the Cold War, and it was like, we'd have drills to go under our desks in case of nuclear attack. But it was always kind of like, I don't know. You never really felt it. You thought it was like fun. You're like, oh, we get to go under our desks.
Real. It didn't feel real at all.
No. And it'd just be Reagan being like, hello. I don't know. It just wasn't like it is now.
Yeah, it's weird. And too, I think the thing that makes it even harder for them is that there's a secondhand smoke effect from technology. It also affects people that don't use it, like old people.
Yeah.
Like kids used to call their grandfathers to ask them questions, and now they don't. Now they Google.
Oh, and it's also, and I'm all about equal everything, but it's one of the first generations where most moms weren't home.
Yeah.
So, by the way, a dad can stay home and the mom goes to work, or both can work and have a really great like nanny or someone that can emotionally be close to the kid.
Yeah.
You know, cousins, grandparents. But just that latchkey shit, it's like if you don't contextualize experiences to kids, they don't know how to process the world.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be like, you'd That monster under your bed, your mom or dad says it's not there. Look, it's just creaking boards. If you don't have anyone to do that, you're like, it's Muslim Jews from fucking East LA.
100%. It's a funny thing too. This guy was talking about Star Wars, and he said how like the way that they divide, make you like one group and hate another group. If you watch Star Wars, you know everything about the people that are on Luke Skywalker's side. Everything.
What?
You know about his childhood. You know about his parents. You know about his siblings. You know about everything. You know about where he lived. You saw his hometown. But you don't know anything about Stormtroopers.
Nothing.
Nothing about Stormtroopers. Nothing about any. You know very little even about Darth Vader. Because there's only one guy, the real enemy. You know a little bit about him. But everybody else, nothing. Those people that we murder and slaughter and destroy and explode, nothing. Know nothing about them because feeling hurts.
It does.
Murder's cool. That I think murder is becoming cool in America, and it's scary. You know, like I went to Sweden. I saw Judge Dredd with Stallone. It was rated X. And I was like, whoa, is this a porno? And then we saw a regular movie with like this 10-year-old kid that was like the nephew of my buddy. And there was like a penis swinging around. And the kid's like, pee pee. And I'm like, what the hell? And he goes, oh, in Sweden, we rate our movies on violence, not sex.
No, it's cool to be violent here.
It
and
is
then
cool to
sex
be violent,
is up. I feel the opposite of what America is. You know, that's why I was so outraged. And I'm not saying it's not a good dance or whatever. Just do it on your own time. I was outraged that Janet Jackson got so much shit for a nipple. A nipple feeds a baby. It's food for a baby.
Yeah.
And it's like, so we're in an environment where your body is bad, sex is bad, women are evil, women tempt you, and they're fucking, you know. Yeah. That's what all this anti-sex shit is saying. It's basically saying women are temptresses. Like, cover them up, don't let them fuck.
So true.
And then you can, okay, like, I said something about Jay-Z's past, and someone's like, don't judge him. They almost glorify it. They're like, he shot his brother, man. It's great. And you're like, that should be said with shame.
Exactly.
Because there's this Hunger Games mentality in America where it's like District 12 can kill a bunch of kids because they had to.
Yeah.
You know, and I understand that. I do in a way. But how do you not address the elephant in the room that someone claiming to be a feminist husband was big pimping? That means selling women, selling crack.
Yeah.
Shooting people, you know, and it's not a race thing. It's not at all a race thing. I mean, look at like Oliver North just being involved with Contras would not be seated at the president's table. And you have our president, you know, hanging with someone who, although I respect a lot, I like the music of Jay-Z. I respect what he went through. He's almost like the Genghis Khan of our fucking world.
Yeah.
But it's like, what does that say to kids? Like, get, you know, get money, fuck bitches.
Exactly. It's
it literally is what it says.
Yeah.
And I apologized for like coming at the topic wrong, but I would never apologize for having that thought because I'm close with my mother.
Awesome.
And if I ever have a daughter, I would never want a man that brags about selling women to like be associated with my alpha leader.
It's terrible. It's a terrible message. And it's because, and this again goes back to that book, Sapiens. We're not supposed to be top of the food chain. We're not supposed to be.
Right.
Other animals are supposed to be. Lions are. Sharks are. They're more majestic. We're insecure because we got there with tools. We cheated.
We're the actor with the director dad that like overplays it. Where it's like, do you know how hard I worked to get here?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, Fred Spielberg. Yeah. You know, where yeah. You know those people where you meet him and you're like, why are you fucking fronting so yeah. hard? Is it because
he's wishing that he was that.
Right.
That's why we admire all these hyper, well, almost cartoon like alpha males.
And these piece and the super PC white people. One of the reasons I've had such an issue with it is the people for it are not the. It's like the richest, whitest, fucking douchiest people yeah. are the ones, you know, it's condescending how they talk about black people. Like yeah. just being black means you're a victim. Yeah. Like just being black, you're now a victim. No, fuck that.
Yeah.
That comes from the fact that their dad or grandfather fucking owns a bunch of shit. They didn't have to work and now they feel guilt because they probably are related to people that do oppress people. And then they're like, yeah. and I'm fucking profiting off this. And I did coke for fucking 15 straight years because my dad owns a fucking factory in Detroit and laid off 20,000 black people, you know?
Yeah.
So then they're now coming at artistic expressionists that don't mean, that aren't involved. There's no pony in the race. And then their response, I think, is so condescending. If I had someone next to me being like, don't talk about Owen that way, I'd be like, Mom... yeah. Like literally, it's like sure. they're acting like a mom.
Sure.
It's like don't you come at Owen. Do you know what he's been through? It's like, I'm a 35-year-old man, Mom.
Yeah.
It's like just being black does not make you a victim.
True.
It they have oppressions, they have situations that they go through that I do not have to go through. That Definitely. Is a fact.
Yeah.
You can be both. You can acknowledge a group's problems and say, I don't know what it's like to be in fear of your life because you're wearing a hoodie in a certain neighborhood. Yeah. I will never understand that. But like everybody has a thing, you know,
100%.
Like if I was on a roller coaster, I'm scared my head's going to get ripped off because I'm too goddamn tall and I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm doing hyperbole, of course. So those of you that don't understand that. But
I agree that like the whole victim thing is me as a minority too, that would piss me off. But it's especially condescending when there are real things.
Well, that's what it does. It smoke shows the real shit.
Exactly. There's real shit that we should be talking
about. The quote unquote war on drugs is the most racist thing that's ever happened in America yeah. because it's not a war on drugs, a war on poverty. Yeah. And I think that most of the racists are dead, but yeah. I think that the system's set up by them.
Well, it's a great system to focus on individual racists instead of the biggest problem, which is institutionalized racism that we have in America.
Right.
That's the real problem. When there are leases in this country that still have no black people allowed to move
in Baltimore.
Into this house.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. Like that's insane.
Right.
So we're talking about these things about a mistaken language. And here's the thing. It's not our principles are not static. They're constantly changing. They're constantly evolving. The way we treat women today is completely different than the way we did just 5 years ago. So there needs to be a little bit of understanding and appreciation for someone who's trying to evolve and like, oh, yeah, but these people also have to acknowledge that these are moving things. They're constantly moving and constantly changing.
Yeah, I heard this Debate Squared podcast, Intelligence yeah. Squared, where they do these amazing debates with like top experts in all these fields that are very controversial.
Yeah.
Not controversial, like controversial, like should we invade, blah, blah, you know, or sure. should, but, and one was about affirmative action. And I've always been for affirmative action in a way, but I can't put my finger on why I don't like it. It's really bad for Asians. A lot of people don't realize that. It's not even anti, like Asians don't get shit from that because they're so fucking smart. That like they're like we got plenty of Asians, like 1600 SATs minimum, you know, but there's always been a problem in my head where it just doesn't feel right. And then someone brought up another example of an affirmative action that would be better, and that is affirmative action based on social class, because I think that like a wealthy black person and a wealthy white person living in the same neighborhood probably have vastly more in common
yeah.
than they're coinciding race of a different social class.
I agree.
You know?
I think there's a way to make it fair.
Let's
hear it. Ways to have affirmative action starting in kindergarten, not college.
Oh, dude, that's exactly it. Yeah. Because have you read Gladwell's David and Goliath?
Yes.
Yeah, where it's like affirmative action actually hurts a lot of black 100%. People because they're four grades behind in some of these horrific places, and they probably have just that natural intelligence that would make them a Harvard kid. But like, for example, my school, I was a few years back compared to like a prep school, mm-hmm. like Deerfield versus Oswego High School. Sure. You know,
just we had weren't, better resources.
Yeah, we barely were getting into calculus my senior year, and you have certain, you know. So anyway, if you start in kindergarten with affirmative action, like you said, then
it's equal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you aren't vastly underqualified for something.
Exactly.
Because it only hurts that person. It doesn't hurt white people.
100%. Humans thrive on struggle. Like, yeah. we're like a cactus. All of my heroes, all the heroes I've ever heard of have had to overcome adversity. There's not a lot of great artists that come out of Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Totally.
So it's like, I think, and it's also, it's not fair to.
I think I have a great comparison of what it is.
Huh.
Okay. Let's say you underfeed two groups of people, and their whole lives. And you're like, oh shit, we underfed group A. They're pretty small. They're smaller than group B. We gave them way too much food. So now group A can play with group B with the 15-foot basket and not the 10-foot one. Yeah. Okay, now they're all going to suck because they're undernourished. Yeah. And your mind is just like your body. If you're mentally undernourished, you don't see the world the same as people that are like have tutors and shit. Yeah. So now if that person played in the 10-foot basket hoop league versus these hypothetical 9-foot people, you know, if someone's 5 feet tall and plays with a 10-foot versus 9 feet and 15-foot, they now can be a great basketball player and maybe eventually move up to the 15-foot once they develop their skills. Mm-hmm. You know, like if you, let's say someone who was affirmative action would send them to Harvard. If they went to like University of Baltimore, University of Binghamton, SUNY Binghamton, the odds are way higher that they go on to get a doctorate or go to law school or medical school than if someone jumped that college section, mm-hmm. just went to Harvard without the tools. Their dropout rate is staggering. And Malcolm Gladwell he can break down those fucking numbers.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. It just makes you too, like the message that we're sending kids is so crazy.
Oh, it's like, so crazy. Oh, that's another thing. Yeah, it's like, we're going to fuck up your community, your whole life, and then we're going to blame it on someone else that didn't do anything. Yeah.
And we'll make it better by giving like 1% or like less than 1% of a person an opportunity. It's not good enough. Like affirmative action in college is not good enough. And it's not just not good enough for ethnic kids or kids that grew up in poverty. It's also not good for white kids who work their asses off and would lose an opportunity because of something like that. That's not fair. Anybody should want is equality, period, bar none.
Right.
I think there's a really weird thing for me. Like when I think of kids that were bullied who become bullies,
Cycle of violence. Totally.
Exactly. Yeah. The first time I heard that, I was like, whoa, that doesn't make any sense. But then it did. And I think that's what happens with these people that are like hypersensitive about pointing out other people. They're going, you said that right. And I'm going, whoa.
Well, you saw that with the death of Scalia, mm-hmm. where it's like a huge victory for liberals. And within hours, they're like, he's burning in hell.
Exactly.
You fucking, it's like, dude, he's dead.
Yeah.
Like just, you win.
Yeah.
Like people can't take the win.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, and they care about what a comedian thinks about Beyonce versus the fact that powers that be want people with nothing to do with the problem to bicker so that they don't fucking see what the problem is.
And that's my biggest beef with Trump. I don't like the way he behaves because I understand
that
when you become a president, it has an influence in how the country behaves.
It's alpha. You're alpha. Yeah. And by the way, it's one thing. It's just like Beyonce. If you're doing your own stadium, it's like if we're headlining, say whatever the fuck you want. But when I just did this Lyme disease benefit, I didn't say shit. I never touched sex. I didn't because it wasn't my name on it.
Sure.
It's them.
Yeah.
You know, and if anyone who becomes president, it's the United States of America who happens to have President Trump, who happens to have President Clinton. Yeah. And they can have their own beliefs and stuff, but they can't completely isolate groups, like which is what Trump does, and which I feel Beyonce's halftime performance did. I felt it was the opposite of that, where it was like isolating. You know, just sing fucking Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Sure.
You know,
see, but for me, I grew up in a black and Latino neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it didn't have the same effect. But I didn't have
the effect that night. I didn't even realize it till the next day when some of my cop friends were talking about, like, the fear it gave them. And I'm like, what did they do that's so bad? They just did a fun dance. And they're like, have you seen what the Black Panthers say?
Wow.
And then they showed me the new Black Panthers, which is not, and by the way, the old Black Panthers do not endorse the new ones at all. The new ones are a bunch of fucking assholes, but they say crazy shit.
Wow.
To the point where if you're doing anything remotely close to that, people are going to fucking lose their minds.
Yeah.
Like that you should bomb white nurseries and shit. Like this is the rhetoric out of their fucking mouths.
Yeah.
And I reacted the same way I reacted to the Confederate flag, to Trump banning Muslims. You can't do that on the world stage.
Exactly.
Do it when you're headlining Queens or wherever the fuck your home club is. Like if I'm at the Hollywood Improv, I say whatever the fuck I want. But if I'm doing a corporate or a benefit, you know, I had a great football coach that said, you have two names on your jersey and neither of them are yours. You know, you got your family on your back and you have your community on your front.
Yeah.
And the Super Bowl is our secular religious experience. It has to fit under the whole deal. And I like Janet Jackson should have been able to show her nipples over, you know, making people feel incredibly scared.
Yeah.
You know, this kid on the milk carton bullshit.
Yeah.
I just think that there's fashion chic where I'm sure she's a fine person. I'm sure she's just a very brilliant, very talented person, but it's like wearing Che t-shirts and fucking
revolutionary chic.
Yeah.
Stuff.
I mean, it started with the Nazis because they had Hugo Boss design all their shit.
Sure.
And so everyone's like, oh yeah, fucking totalitarian regimes are super sexy.
That's the problem with symbolism. And saying something in a song is the lack of specificity. And when something like the black, and what you find out here is that on two different sides of the table, the number 7 could look like the letter L, and both people are right. It's just that I don't have cop friends that told me that story, but when I hear that story, I go, oh, wow, that's terrible. And when I looked up the new Black Panthers, you're right. They're like a hate group. And so it's like, a lot of things, if you're going to go out and be a singer, that's what I think was kind of irresponsible on her side too. I agree with you. I don't think she should have done that without clearly saying what she meant.
Yeah, that's literally like me doing a set for...
on that stage, you know what I mean?
Yeah, even a tiny stage. Like even if I'm doing a... I can't think of any group right now. I'm spacing. Let's say I'm doing a college... And I'm hired by Hillel or the Hispanic group. And the whole time I'm just like kind of being a dick about Spanish people or Jewish people. Like I'd be a dick.
Sure.
Or even just, I wouldn't even reference World War II if I was doing Hillel.
Yeah.
I just out of respect, I wouldn't be doing like Holocaust fucking jokes, even if they didn't have a bad intention.
Yeah.
And I just feel like that people do that very irresponsibly. The symbolism of someone's actions are, and I've been guilty of it so many times. That's why it's like, I felt like it was irresponsible for that chick to sing the ironic song without knowing what irony meant.
Yeah.
Like that made a bunch of kids stupid.
Yeah.
Where it's like, isn't it ironic, don't you think? It's like rain on your wedding day. That's not the definition of irony.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, none of them are. A thousand forks when all you need is a knife. That's not irony. That's just a shitty situation.
Yeah.
It's like...
It is crazy.
Fucking A.
But you do. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility when you get to that level. It's hard for me to say that. As a comic, as a writer, I want to be able to not censor myself in any way, shape, or form. But I don't think it's censorship. I think it's respecting the gift that you've earned. And being able to, like, of all the times in history, then, especially at the Super Bowl and especially with what's going on in the world, I don't need another reason to fight.
Exactly.
I don't want to fight anymore.
That's why I wanted to do the Road to Joy.
Yeah.
Because it's like, because I realize it's absolute value that no matter what I think in my head, I'm like, it's almost like being drunk where you're like, I definitely should drive. I'm fine. It's like that with rage where you're like, if everyone just heard what I felt, everyone would fucking like it. And that is just not true. Like, you're too drunk to drive, and people will have contradictory opinions that are equally as right.
Yeah.
And it's like...
And that's why you have to listen to each other. I mean, like, if you say Malcolm X, it depends on what era. If you just put up a picture of Malcolm X and you don't explain what that means, you could be thinking of Malcolm X the separatist, Or you could be thinking of Malcolm X that came back from Mecca and said, you know what? I've seen Muslims of all different colors and faiths and nationalities, and I see that diversity is what makes us great. And those are two very different people because people change.
Yeah, it was like Huey Newton, the founder of the Panthers before and after prison.
Exactly.
Yeah.
People change, organizations change. And when you have that big of a stage, that big of a platform, and you say something that's that potentially volatile, you do have a little bit of a responsibility to, at the very least, clarify what you mean.
Yeah, that's why I love Dan Carlin's Hardcore History, because he was talking about how he did a report in college about how awesome Genghis Khan was militarily, and his teacher was Chinese, from Chinese heritage.
Wow.
And the teacher was like, gave him like a shitty grade, and he was like, why? And he was like, you didn't factor in how many people he killed. Like, people think Genghis Khan, they think like Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, like, you know, he's just this funny little Asian that runs around screaming. He was all, you know, Night of the Museum, I think he's in. He made Hitler look like a little bitch.
So true.
He made ISIS look like the fucking Girl Scouts.
Yeah.
He would chop off the head of any, oh, speaking of tallism, he would say, walk past this cart thing, and if your head went above it, he chopped your fucking head off.
Wow.
I think that's one reason why Asians are kind of small. But yeah, he killed 50 million people. He raped so many women that 1 in 300 people alive today are direct descendants of him.
Wow.
Yeah. So he's a fucking animal. And like, a lot of people would just be like, oh, Genghis Khan. It's like, well, you should know what it means to Chinese people. Certain Chinese people see him as, you know, probably how Jewish people see Hitler in 500 to 1,000 years, of just this old mythical monster of just like, you know, don't talk about that fucking guy.
Yeah.
Like how Christians see Judas, or, you know, there's all these like people see these where it's like, just don't say that. You know, even the Jesus Christ will offend some people. And it's like, that's 2000 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're talking about things that are pretty recent. Yeah, this was our lighthearted episode.
I know.
Jesus Christ. You got anything to plug? I got a...
I'm going to the Carolina Comedy Club in South Carolina.
Nice.
Next week. Oh, I'm sorry. And next week I'm doing Vegas. I'm doing the Laugh Factory at the Tropicana.
Oh, that's fun.
With Bob Zaney.
Great.
Featuring for Bob. That should be fun. I haven't been there in a long time, so I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
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 And where can people find you on...
TamerKatan.com.
With two T's, right?
With two T's in Catan, yeah. Exactly. And the first name's just like Tamer. And same, and I'm all over social media. Instagram is the same at, actually, Instagram's the only one. It's at TamerCat. Everything else is at Tamer Catan. Nice. Twitter, Facebook, everything.
Yeah, Tamer's fucking hilarious. This is the third time he's done the show.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I will be at, where am I? Going home for my brother's birthday this weekend after Tampa Improv.
Cool.
Thursday through Sunday, so go to that. In the meantime, watch Road to Joy. Subscribe to that YouTube channel, because I didn't build my YouTube properly, but I do like to be able to give people free shit. You know, like, I pay for it. Not that it costs me much. I shoot most of it on my phone. So I just want to make stuff that isn't edited or censored or that I have to audition for.
It's really good. I remember being really impressed. I was super impressed with that documentary.
Well, yeah, because that's another thing that makes me happy, is completing tasks.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I just give myself these little ideas. I'm like, I'm going to do a documentary on fucking some other dumb thing.
And dude, I got to tell you, I'm an avid listener of the podcast, and I got to tell you, the Mad King episode, I was on a jog. I was jogging around the Echo Park Lake. I can't even remember the number of times I went, whoa.
Like, I gotta re-listen to that
one. You were like, yeah, you should. It was really, it was you were like Yoda on that episode. Like, you were so wise. And that's why I asked you the question about having the kid, because it seems like your brain's changing.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. It makes you a little paranoid of the world.
Yeah.
I never suffered from paranoia until recently, kind of a little bit. I feel like shit is bad and I want to fix it. Yeah. And I always find those people kind of annoying. One of my buddies... my business manager, who's actually in town right now, Russell's the man. He was like, he's so mellow. Like, I could literally be like, I'm thinking about buying part of the moon. There's this thing. He'd be like, you know, I don't think that's a good idea. I think we should allocate those, you know, I've been with him for 10 years. It's like, he's so consistently right.
It's great.
And, I know so many people that make so much less money than me, and I have so much more money than them because I've had my finances structured properly.
Right on.
Like, I know people that blow me out of the water with salary, and they can't believe I own property. They're like, how the fuck?
Yeah.
How much money did you make on on House Bunny? I'm like, $3,000. They're like, So Russell's the man. And Russell said, he goes, people that care too much about things are annoying. And I was like, that's true. What's up, Jamie? Like, he just summed it up that simply. He's like, if you care too much about shit, it's just kind of annoying.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, that's fucking true.
That's so true.
Yeah. So just everyone love each other and watch Road to Joy on YouTube.
Right on.
Subscribe, comment, rate the shit, spread it around, and listen to old episodes because they're a good time. All right. Much love.